Okay, great. Good afternoon. Thank all of you for joining us today. And I want to give a big thank you to Anantha Desikan, who will be speaking with us this hour. So Anantha is Executive Vice President, Chief Innovation and Technology Officer at ICL Group. And this interview is an element of IRI's sustainability community. And the sustainability community provides resources and networking opportunities for members as you promote sustainability in your innovation practices. As a member of the community, you can access facilitated roundtable discussions on key topics. These are on the fourth Thursday of the month, so it'll be tomorrow. Case studies and white papers with industry examples. We've got one out from Nestlé Purina Pet Care right now on sustainable packaging. I also do updates with additional insights and resources and interviews with thought leaders like we're doing today. And these take place on the fourth Thursday of the month at noon. And next month, we'll be talking to Brandon Ferris, who handles sustainability issues for our parent organization, the NAM, National Association of Manufacturers. Sorry, too many acronyms. Right. And if you aren't already signed up, I will be adding you to the list for updates for the sustainability community. If you don't want them, just let me know. Just a couple housekeeping items before we can begin our conversation with Anantha. First, this session is being recorded and you will get a link to the recording. We will be distributing the recording as a podcast, so there will not be any visuals here today. Second, please hold all questions until the end. Once we open the floor to questions, you can type your question into the chat and I'll read it out for you, or you can come off of mute and ask your question face to face. I just ask that you raise your hand so that we know who's coming in. Okay, all the boring stuff is out of the way. Anantha, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Lee. Thanks for the opportunity and look forward to the conversation and for the discussion, I think.
Great. So tell us about your background and about ICL.
So I'm a chemie by education and training. I have a PhD in chemical engineering. I grew up in India. I did my undergrad in India and came for graduate schools many, many years ago. Many years ago, I should say. I went to school in upstate New York, Clarkson University, a small engineering school. And I started to work at AkzoNobel in product development. I did some process technology manufacturing, started to get into research management at Akzo when Akzo decided to sell the business. And it was bought by a private equity business, and it was called Suprista, a small $300 million specialty chemical business, where I got involved in technology management and a part of the executive team. And 4 years later, this was 2004. In 2007, ICL, which I'll give you some background on ICL, they bought the business. And that's my entry into ICL. I've been with ICL for 15 years, in the chemical industry for 25 years, done some commercial management, R&D, and currently the chief technical officer for ICL.
Okay, and tell us a bit more about ICL.
So ICL is not a brand name in the US. It's a Tel Aviv, Israel headquartered specialty mineral chemical fertilizer company. It's listed in the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange and also the New York Stock Exchange. The company has been around for 100 years. We just celebrated 100 years in last year. It's longer than the state of Israel, some people will say. It started with two entrepreneurs exploring opportunities by harvesting the salt in the Dead Sea. And that's how the company formed. Today, we are about a $10 billion company in revenue. 2022 revenues were around $10 billion, a good profitability, about 12,000 employees, a global company. The DNA of the company, I think I would say, is the Dead Sea. We have an integrated plant at the Dead Sea. If some of you have visited the Dead Sea, the ponds, the tourist things, our hotels are actually in ICL locations, I think. So the Dead Sea salt is rich in potash, potassium chloride, which is a fertilizer. It's also rich in bromine. So ICL is one of the largest bromine and bromine derivatives producer company. It's also rich in magnesium. So we make magnesium and magnesium salts. And then we do some surface mining for phosphates. So we are a backward integrated mineral resource company in a way, but forward integrated into specialty applications. So our the the three, we have four divisions. Three divisions are customer facing, and they are focused on growing solutions, which is crop nutrition. The other division is called, we call it phosphate specialties, but I would say the food ingredient business of that is one of the areas of focus for ICL. And the third one, it's a combination of a couple of divisions, is industrial chemicals and materials. So that's kind of the business structure for ICL, if you will. And the fourth is potash, which is more a production production division. And so that's that. So crop nutrition, fertilizers, food ingredients, and specialty chemicals, materials is our three focus areas from a business standpoint. And below that, you know, our innovation strategy is around, you know, we've looked at mega trends outside, you know, like what is intersecting the business areas. And we have five innovation domains, if you will. So the one is, again, focused on crop nutrition, but where we are looking at the next generation fertilization concepts in terms of innovation. And this is like looking at biostimulants, biological fertilizers, nutrient use efficiency, and things like that. The second area is building on what we are doing in food today with phosphates. We are looking to build our alternative protein space where we can influence texture, taste, emulsification, clean label aspects of the space in terms of with functional ingredients. So that's an area of focus for us. The third one is around e-mobility and sustainability, where we are looking in getting into the battery material space and also the recycling aspects of things with respect to minerals. The fourth is, because we are backward integrated to three or four minerals, we're always looking for novel solutions based on bromine, potassium, magnesium, phosphate. So that's an area for innovation focus. And the fifth one, which I'm not day-to-day working on, but it's really important and interesting, is digital agriculture. Where how can we take data in agriculture and create solutions, you know, for farmers, agronomists, and input other companies and things like that. So these are the five innovation areas. And what I would say is sustainability is an overarching theme across all the things we are doing in innovation. And of course, the business aspect as well, but also the innovation aspect. So that's kind of a rundown. It's a diversified company, but I just wanted to give an overview of what we do and who we are, kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So super diverse.
but it's kind of linked at the mineral, you know, the mineral level in a way. But it's diversified after that, I think. So that's kind of where how the company is structured.
Okay. And along with that, so, you know, how does sustainability fit into all of this? Where does it sit, and how does it kind of cascade throughout those five innovation areas?
Yeah. So as I said, you know, when we kind of created this innovation strategy or innovation intent, as some would call it, this was up in 2020. Timeframe at least when we did it, sustainability was a thought process that went in, right? Like, we didn't think separately, but you could see climate change. We had like 10 mega trends that we looked at, which are all sustainability influenced, I think. And those mega trends was how we kind of looked at as the innovation part. So sustainability is a key part of our innovation agenda, and in terms of how we are structured, we don't have, like, for example, in other companies, we don't have a chief sustainability officer, at least, you know, as a separate function. So it sits at the interface of different functions in ICL: legal, operations, R&D, finance, and all the stuff. Our CEO, Raviv Zoller, takes ownership of sustainability and actually is building this sustainability culture in our company. So it's kind of, you can say it's at the highest level in the company, but it's also dispersed. Until a year ago, we had our chief operations officer responsible for sustainability, but due to some changes, today, if you ask some one person holds the buck stops with whom, then it's like our chief legal officer who's looking at sustainability, but actually really it is it's actually built into different functions, I think, in ICL at least, yeah.
Okay, and so it is integrated into the strategy, but how's that actually played out practically in the organization?
Yeah, so I think when we look at sustainability, right, we kind of maybe we flip it and say, sustainability, I think what we believe in is sustainability is our strategy for growth. I think that's really how we have our thinking as a company. This is really a part of our business growth. Sustainability is a part of our business growth. So it's kind of and it starts with our brand promise, I would say, because we are, initially we were like a mineral resource company. So we're kind of trying to transform ourselves by creating solutions or impactful solutions for humanity's sustainability challenges, right? By leveraging our unique resources and technology, I think. So that's kind of how we are positioning our brand, also the culture inside the company. It's a transformative journey, I think, like shifting from a company that extracts minerals to one that harnesses the resources to create solutions, right? Like that's kind of where we are headed. So that's kind of and also the responsibility of creating responsible solutions and in food, agriculture, and industrial products. So that's the strategic link as well. So that's kind of I would say that's where how we are linking sustainability. And then of course the innovation themes I mentioned in fertilization, food ingredients, e-mobility, and digital agriculture and solutions.
Okay, and so you're trying to integrate sustainability all into these very diversified businesses. Can you talk about that, and then also kind of how that year of focused on sustainability fit into that?
Yeah, so I think we have, if you think about our journey, we have four pillars, if you will, in the sustainability part. We have culture, and that's, I'll come back to it, right? Like with the year of the sustainability thing we talked about before, and I'm happy to share that with everybody. And then of course, reporting is a key part of it. Rankings, different sustainability rankings, and then how does it impact our business? So this is kind of the fundamentals, if you will. I'll come back to one thing is we don't think there's one gold standard for ranking or methodologies and things like that. So our thought process is to kind of try to do as much as possible, like, try to get involved in different ranking mechanisms reporting methodologies and things like that, like to some, to a certain extent. But also by doing that, we learn from the different aspects of these things. And so we can then become the best in class. I think that's kind of our philosophy. So we are involved in the EcoVadis, ranking method, like Bloomberg ESG index, like carbon disclosure projects, all the things that many early adopter UN, United Nations Global Compass, things like that. We're learning from all these things. And so that we think at the end of the day, we can be the best in class, I think, and we learn from that. So that's kind of on the reporting side. And how are we incorporating into the diversified business, right? Like, so actually my mind spins when I try to explain this to the different businesses sometimes, right? Like, so what are we trying to do? But I think, as I said before, we are linked to the backward integration to some aspects. So there is a common thread, and maybe our sustainability journey starts there in some ways, right? Like we are committed from an operational standpoint to the GHG emissions, for example. We have targets, 30% reduction by 2030, based on a baseline from 2018, carbon neutral by 2050. We committed, I think, late last year or early this year to the science-based targets, for example, the initiative, science-based targets initiative. We published for the second year, I think, in the task force for climate-related disclosures, for financial disclosures. That kind of links into a comprehensive assessment and also material risks and opportunities in terms of financial liability and things like that, right? Like, so these are common activities that work across the company. This also creates common language, if you will, like in these diversified businesses. And then we're also linking this strategy to our financing, right? Like with sustainability-based loans and credit facilities and things like that. So this is something this is the common thing that brings all of us together. But then we diverge because of the three main business segments, crop nutrition, food ingredients, and specialty chemicals all have their own specific sustainability challenges for. So that's where we start looking at specific challenges. So in crop nutrition, for example, fertilizers, there are a number of challenges and opportunities in terms of the use of fertilizers, the impact of fertilizers on the climate, availability of land, biodiversity, all these things. So these are things that we are incorporating into that business's strategy that then spills over to our innovation strategy as well. So the food, also the same thing, right? Like, so they have, plant-based proteins and, issues around additives in meat, poultry, seafood, bakery, all these things are all challenges, sustainability aspects that we are looking at. So that kind of builds into that strategy. And then chemicals and materials have their own set of both challenges and also very interesting opportunities that we're building in terms of energy storage, electrification, those kind of things. So that's kind of built into the strategy. So that's kind of where we are starting with some common stuff and then building business specific strategies, if you will, right? Like, so that's kind of to answer the question, how is it integrated within the business, the diversified businesses?
Okay, and how did that fit into the year of sustainability too?
So as I told you, our CEO has this unique philosophy of doing this year of something. So when he started in ICL about four and a half years ago, 2019 was the year of employer of choice. So you think it's a year of something and we forget about it, right? Like, so what he wants to do when his thought process is, when you create this year of something, everybody, and then there's a lot of stuff happening around that. So there's a lot of structured chaos, if you will, and a lot of activities, but he believes that these things will carry on. So we've not lost our focus on employer of choice even for 4 years later, right? Like, so 2023, we are still focused on employer of choice, but we started this journey in 2019. So that's something that is, so then 2020 was the year of the innovation in ICL, and we started thinking about internal innovation capabilities and structuring things around it. And we still continue this journey, and we've made big strides around the innovation aspects and things like that. 2021 was around commercial excellence. Obviously, this is not going to stop. And then 2022 was year of the sustainability. And the idea was to build knowledge, create common thinking, create programs that can then lead into, build into the employer of choice aspects, innovation aspects, commercial excellent aspects, and things like that. That's the idea. So when we create a year of something, there is a program that goes along with it. It started actually in 2021 there was a leadership process going on in ICL. So for a group of leaders. And so he gave a challenge to each of the, I don't know, about 30 people split into a few teams. So he said, each of you come with a proposal for a program for the year of the sustainability. So that without going to a consultant or anybody, right? Like, so he said, okay, I'll use you as consultants and do this. So that created already some energy. And so each of them presented stuff. So when we created a program, we used parts of it. So they, it created some ownership as well. And so we had about 16 teams doing things during the year of the sustainability. So all the divisions, for example, the businesses had a specific team, the global functions had teams. So I counted, I think it was 16 teams, had a program. We created people at lower levels in the organization to be involved in the program. And every quarter we reviewed what were the specific initiatives that happened within each of the businesses or each of the teams. And many of this activities were not new, right? Like some were new, some were old, but kind of refocused as a sustainability thing. And the learnings were shared every quarter with the organization, and that created new initiatives and things like that. So that's kind of where we started. We also involved our community. So I think there's like with the children of ICL employees globally did something around sustainability, what they thought the future was, and we created an opportunity for families to be involved. Of course, we engaged the community and things like that, right? Like so, and we taught the group or the employees about the UN Sustainable Development Goals. I think there are 18 of them, if I'm not mistaken. So we did 17. We talked about it. And then 18, I think, if I'm wrong, it's either 17 or 18, is the year of the partnership, or it's about partnership. So I don't know if you can move beyond 2023 is the year of the partnership in ICL. So it's like maybe a game-based theory that Raviv, our CEO, has come up, but I think the idea is, and we still talk about sustainability initiatives now, and I think the collective knowledge on this topic has improved a lot, I think, based on this year of the thing, and that's kind of a fun way to. It's a lot of work for many of us, but that's the process we're going through. Yeah.
Okay, and switching back to innovation and R&D, you mentioned when we spoke that you were working on a tool for measuring the impact of a solution for an R&D project. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So for many years, right, like we in R&D product development, sustainability in the product itself was very important. So many years ago, we built in a tool called the Sustainability Index in our product development methodology. And this was based on the green chemistry principles that were published about 25 years ago. By Drs. John Warner and Paul Anastas, I think many of you may be familiar with it. It's all about 15 guiding principles. So we took some of them, we incorporated that, and that is built into our stage gate process, for example, stage and gate process. And this is still in practice, right? But this is only then we realized this is only a part of the product development process. And we looked for other methodologies that can better serve this concept about impact. You know, how does your product impact, the climate or environment or anybody else, right? Like, so we chose, we chose this impact methodology. I think it's not new. I think there is the Impact Management Institute or something. There's a methodology published by them, and we worked with a consultant who was familiar and who could design a program for us. We are in the early stages, and we are trying to incorporate this into our product development process. But I think some definitions are important, right? Like, so impact is like consciously driving new solutions forward. It's different from sustainability. It could contribute to better sustainability, but it's not that only, right? Like, so it's more than that. And then we started thinking about the 5 degrees of impact. this is, again, this comes from this internationally accepted methodology. What is the impact? What outcomes is the project contributing to? Are they positive or negative? How important are the outcomes to the stakeholders, if you will? Who is impacted? Who experiences the outcome? In terms of, is it farmers or other stakeholders who are impacted? How much of the outcome occurs? Does it occur at scale? Or are you only talking about, if you cannot do it at scale, then it's not a business, it's not important for the business also, right? And how long is the outcome experience for? Is it short term, medium term, long term, things like that? In terms of agriculture and things like that, it's important, I think. Contribution, are these outcomes likely to occur otherwise as well? So these are questions we have to ask ourselves in this process. And then, of course, the last one is the risk. What are the risks involved once we launch this product into the market and things like that? And then we chose three areas of focus: climate action, advancing food security and sustainable agriculture, and contributing to the human health and well-being. And so these were the three overarching things we talked about in this impact process or the questionnaires when we start this thing. And then each of these three things will have specific targets, like climate change will have targets of reducing emissions, reducing waste, water savings, increase in renewable energy. So there are specific things that we will target on. And then you ask these questions. And then some of this is not at the idea stage, for example, it's not evolved, but you still start this process. I think we start asking these questions. And as we think, as we go through the stage gate process, you will get more nuanced and more quantifiable answers. And we want to create like a dashboard for projects that we are launching that can be used for also communicating to the market and things like that. Like, for example, what UN Sustainable Development Goals are these? Is this particular product targeting? What is it impacting in terms of in the sustainable product things? What is the impact? Can you quantify the contribution? Meaning it's 10% yield increase above current market demand. It reduces water consumption by so much. It influences 11 million people. Those are the impact contributions we are measuring. And then and there's an ABC metric that we are using. Is it I don't remember the exact thing for the ABC thing, but that's something. So all this is coming into a dashboard, which we think we can first of all look at it from a product portfolio standpoint, and then use this for communicating with a community outside, right? When we are doing ESG reporting, for example, we can talk about, we normally qualitatively talk about a project and say, hey, we are doing this project that impacts, controlled release agriculture that is impacting, nutrient use efficiency, for example. But with this methodology, we can talk about this, maybe communicate using this dashboard I mentioned about how is it impacting and things like that. That's the thought process for this tool, which we're developing. Yeah.
So you talked about quantifying things and metrics. So how are you trying to calculate the ROI on your sustainability investments?
So I think so far, again, I'm not day-to-day involved in this aspect, but currently we are using the same financial metrics, I think, on some of the sustainability. Of course, we have, like everybody else, the return should be less than, 4 years, 5 years, whatever, RO and the different IRRs and NPVs and things like that. We've not created a new new measurement for the ROI, Lee, in terms of sustainability investments yet. We're talking about a long-term project for creating, using solar, creating green energy in Israel in the Dead Sea to maybe that'll influence more than ICL, right? Like, it's a huge project, billions of dollars. If you calculate the ROI, it won't work now. but I think we've not created something separate. But what we are doing now is we are actually adding, including sustainability aspects into every investment. Like, are we? Is this? What are the climate impact aspects of this particular investment? And that is being incorporated into the investment reviews and the committees and everything. Yeah.
Okay. And so, what's been your approach to life cycle analysis?
So I think it's multifaceted, right? Like the life cycle thing. So first thing is product carbon footprints is what we are focused on right now. That's also the European initiative. I think it's called CBAM, one of the acronyms, right? Like
that's being acronyms.
So we've set targets to ourselves for what we want to achieve with respect to carbon footprints, and this will feed into our scope 3 emissions or not emissions, scope 3 discussions even with our value chain. It also will add to our value proposition. Some of our products have the lowest carbon footprint in the market because, you know, of how we produce these products and things like that. So that's something that we are focused on and doing very diligently, working on these carbon footprints using well-established methods and things like that. We are also looking at product safety and responsibility, chemical safety assessments in areas where they are important. I told you that we joined the Together for Sustainability program in 2018. It's kind of a initiative where I think more than 40 companies, where they've created global standards for environmental, social, and governance performance and chemical supply chains. It's also based on the UN Global Compass and Compact and Responsible Care. So this adds to our life cycle part in procurement as well. Then we do product stewardship, where products like we have developed some tools, for example, for flame retardants. We have developed tools where how do you choose a particular flame retardant for a particular application? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we are also trying to make sure that the wrong product is not used in a high exposure environment, for example. So we've developed a tool for that. So this is like the multifaceted approach we've taken with respect to life cycle. And then I talked about the early stage aspects where we are including when we're doing new products, new chemicals or something, we are looking at toxicological aspects from the early stage, right? Like from the idea stage, as they progress through the development process, we are looking using those kind of things, our sustainability index I mentioned, but also tox measurements and all the stuff. All our products are tested, right? Like for toxicity and things like that. So these are some of the things we are looking at when we are thinking about life cycle analysis and things like that.
Okay, and you've touched on this a little bit, but I always like to ask people, you know, how are you dealing with the shifting regulatory landscape? I mean, you're based in Israel, you've got these diverse businesses. How are you dealing with all of that?
So it starts with a global regulatory group we have. And so each of the businesses, so we have like almost like a business partner for each of the businesses in terms of regulatory aspects. So some businesses don't need that much regulatory things, like for example, commodity fertilizers. Of course, there is regulations and certifications and things like that we have to have in each of the countries we sell into, but they're not very intense. But some do, right? Like in fertilizers, there are changing regulations in Europe, a new regulations like the fertilizer FPR, it's called, product regulation, was introduced recently. So we had to change our labeling and our reporting structure in the labels and things like that based on that. There are things happening like microplastics, biodegradability requirements that we monitor. Now, as we get into biostimulants, we need to understand what are the regulations around biostimulants. So we have experts inside the company. Also, externally, we use consultants to keep abreast of things. And then, so in every region, we have a regulatory presence. Like in North America, we have a regulatory presence who kind of have focus on TSCA and US or Canada-based regulations and things like that. In Brazil, which is a key market for us, we have a group in Europe, of course, and Israel. And then we have check posts in China, India, Australia. So that's kind of the way we do it. We also have an advocacy, a small advocacy group where we need to get involved in as regulations are being formed and things like that. So that's kind of our regulatory landscape. It is shifting. There are chemical aspects that we have to pay attention to in terms of products in the specialty chemical space. We have to pay attention to the fertilizer regulations that are shifting also, requirements of recycled stuff that is happening in both fertilizers and chemicals. And of course, food, we have to be on top of it. What are regulations, contaminants, aspects of clean label issues and things like that. So it's kind of it's a juggling act, but this is how we are doing it in terms of having a global group and then working with the sales, marketing, commercial groups and advocacy and R&D. That's how we do it.
Okay. So we talked about the year of sustainability at ICL. So what have you been doing to keep that momentum going since, you know, we're 6 months beyond the year of sustainability now?
Yeah. So I think, as I said, it doesn't stop, right? Like, you know, we don't. So this is going to happen. Even now we talk about projects on, you know, sustainability and things like that. So that's not. So I think the path is clear for us. I think, as I said, sustainability is our strategy for growth. So when I say fertilizers, the growth is around, you know, solutions that are addressing some of the challenges we have around climate, environment, and things like that. So biologicals. So that's kind of built in, I think. And in electrification and e-mobility, we are getting into the battery material space by putting one of the first commercial plants of cathode active materials in the U.S. So the focus is about growth and how and sustainability is a part of our growth strategy, I think. So that's not going to go anywhere. We are doing some specific steps, as I said. We enrolled on the SBTI thing end of last year, early this year, the Science Based Targets Initiative, to kind of bring rigor into all our measurements and reporting, like the scope 1, 2, 3 emissions. So that's an important step that we've taken early this year or late last year as a part of our sustainability, year of the sustainability. Maybe that came as a gap. I think we have clearly established our emission targets. So the focus will give focus to our operations, I think. And then, as I said, in innovation, sustainability is an overarching theme. So it's again going to be, we're going to stop at every point and ask the question, you know, about the impact of these products that we are trying to develop.
Okay. And any last words on how you want your journey to go from here? The sustainability journey specifically.
Yeah, sustainability. No, I would like for this to grow, right? Like as we are thinking, and the challenge, what I faced from a product development and an introduction point of view is, you know, sometimes communicating the value proposition of a new product, for example, right? Like, so that's something that we need to develop further and get better at it, build solutions that not only talk about sustainability, but also have other unique selling or value propositions. So that's kind of will create momentum for products. And then, you know, we have legacy of operations that are extracting stuff, right? Like, so we want our company to be, you know, looked upon as a solution provider rather than a resource company. So that's kind of that's how the journey has to happen. So that, I think those are the things that I would look forward to in time of transforming our company from being an extractor of minerals to a solution provider, that it's impacting food security and well-being, right? Like that kind of a thing in that sense.
Great, awesome. Thank you so much. So we're going to open the floor to questions now. So if you want to raise your hand and jump in. But the first one's just a quick one. Is the climate-related financial risk assessment that you've done publicly available?
I don't know the answer to the question, but I can check and I come back to you, Lee, or whomever. Andrea, I think, asked the question. So I'll check that and see. We did publish just our ESG report. I'll check that first. Maybe that it is already there. I can send a link to it. And then it may be, I don't know for a fact. That's all. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Other questions? We had one just on the Together for Sustainability initiative. You know, how is that? So you mentioned you joined that. When did you join it? Was it this year?
No, we joined around 2018, I think. And it was a more, it's also a procurement-led initiative. Like it's like many companies, I think more than 40 companies are involved in that, and maybe many here member companies of our group is all, they're also involved. So it's kind of looking to join it's called the Together for Sustainability initiative, and trying to look at global standards in terms of environment, ESG kind of thing, and also procurement and other things, I think. Yeah,
very cool. All right. And can you tell us about the picture behind you?
So I think this one is one of the artworks that was done by our children, I think, our family. Like, it's not, you know, it's not my kids, but it's...
it wasn't you.
Yeah, it wasn't me. It was not my children. It was like the activity that I said to you, right? Like each there was a family thing that we could submit artwork from the kids about sustainability, where they see the future, the children, and then was collected and got nice virtual backgrounds, I think. And we also created a small video and, you know, published it and all the stuff. Yeah, so it's it was a fun act. The artwork is based on the activity we did, I think, as a part of the Year of the Sustainability.
Oh, very cool. All right, any other questions for Ananta? No, I think we covered it. Give everyone another second here if they want to raise their hand or drop it. Somebody's currently furiously typing. All right. Well, Ananta, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak to us and to tell us about, you know, all of your initiatives, including the Year of Sustainability, which I think is it's a cool concept. I think a lot of people are very interested in hearing about that. So how it kickstarted things, because that's a big issue that we hear about. You know, how do we galvanize people's efforts around sustainability?
Yeah, I think so. And I'd like to get, if anybody later on, you know, or this impact measurement methodology, if any input or any feedback, some things like that, like I would always like to learn, I think. So if you come across other techniques, or we can even showcase something like that, I'd be happy to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. And what was this year again? What was the focus of 2023?
It's the Year of the Partnership. That's why I'm saying we can partner to do something different. Yeah.
Perfect.
So anybody there, I've given you a broad background on ICL. You can look it up, icl-group.com. If you see any opportunities for partnership, I'd love to love to explore it.
Look at that. You're living the year. I love it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today, Ananta. It's been great. And hopefully you'll get some partnerships out of it for the year.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Lee. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks, everybody. Right.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye-bye.